Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Hana Ho podcast. It's me, Willie Paul. I'm sitting down with Pastor Owen.
How's it?
Good Pastor to see you Owen, guys. Is it true? You don't dye your hair.
I don't dye my hair. You want to look? Take a look.
Yeah. Okay, I can see maybe a few gray hairs here and there. You just got the good genes or something?
It's there. I think, you know, Joyce says when you're in the sunlight, you can see it kind of sparkle out. But yeah.
Is there a secret? Do you like wash your hair with a certain type of shampoo or?
You know, I just have to be careful because, you know, we talk about bachi, yeah? You know, local style.
Oh, yeah.
If I keep teasing people about it, I'm afraid one day I'm going to wake up. Either I'm going to be all bald or there's going to be patches or it's going to be all gray or, you know. Yeah, so I just got to be careful. But it's not dyed. You can see it in my, you know, sideburns. I used to kind of like pull out the one gray here and there. But then it looks a little more wise, yeah.
Yeah, wisdom. I think you could really rock the like salt and pepper hair.
We'll see.
Yeah, I think you could really pull it off. But anyway,
I'm not in a rush. Yeah.
Yeah, no rush. You got time. Hey, I really love the message this past week about shattered expectations, Palm Sunday. I thought it was really well done, especially talking about just all the expectations surrounding Jesus and who people thought he was going to be. Because there was this expectation of the warrior king, of Jesus coming down to like kick out the Romans and set up the, you know, the 12 tribes of Judah and everything. And like, to have that shattered expectation of not a warrior king, but a humble servant.
And I think one area that, you know, I touched upon, but really, if you want to drill down a little bit more about it, just the image of who he was and how that came about. Yeah. Because we talked about him being a king, the warrior, omnipotent, as I was saying in there. But based on people's expectations because of what they were living through, what their experience, you know, the wars that they had to fight, the military, the context, yeah, really developed the image of who they expected of him to be, you know, and how we do the same thing with ourselves. Yeah, we shape God by our own expectations. So,
yeah, that part really reminded me of, I think it was Tozer, who said what we think about God is the most important thing about us. And he was talking about how, like, if we think that God is like distant and angry and judgmental, then that's like who we will become. But if we can think of God as who he really is, which is like compassionate, forgiving, loving, a servant, then like that's who we become. Yeah. So I thought that was really cool that you brought about that expectation, not just of like your own life, but expectations of who you think God is.
Yeah.
I thought it was just an awesome, it melded together very well the historical biblical context with the real life application of what it means for us today.
Yeah.
So I was listening to it. I didn't get a chance to listen to it on Sunday because we were doing the Metro Kids Easter egg drop off, and then I was doing the Metro Kids online. So I was running around, I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I listened to it on the podcast on Monday and I was driving. Oh. I was just like, this is so good.
You mean you miss Sunday? You know, we say this and we minister to the online audience and we record that. But man, in person, something else happens. I don't know what happens. When you're in the house with people there, there are a little more twists and turns on that one too on Sunday. So shucks. I wish somehow we can capture that. But anyway. I think that the basic message was there was still very meaningful.
I really appreciate the ability to have like podcasts or online services, because there are some times where like, you know, you're busy, you can't make it to church. And so you're able to get it. And then like, even, I was listening to the podcast and like you said something and I was driving. So I wasn't like, I was paying attention to the road because I'm a safe driver. Yeah. I'm smart. I'm wise. I'm an adult. I wasn't touching my phone. And you said something and I realized like, oh, I missed the last like couple sentences he said. So I can just rewind and I just listen to it again.
Yeah.
And like, you can't, in the middle of service, you can't just be like, sorry, could you just go back?
Yeah. Well, here's a couple of things that I did mention on Sunday. And I'll be careful because, like, again, like I said, bachia, I don't want it to happen to me. But, so when I was talking about, you know, your expectations will oftentimes shape what you experience later on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't allow your unmet expectations to distract you from the greater thing that God has for your life. And I talked about worship. Yeah, a little bit about worship. On Sunday, I said, I remember, you know, I was helping Pastor Wayne, preach and teach, but he would be the main speaker. And, you know, everybody loved him and everybody loved, you know, how he communicated and his jokes and all that. And I remember walking out on stage one weekend when he was gone, you know, he told me to fill in for him. So I walked out on stage after worship and dance and all. And I remember in this row, three ladies stood up and they walked out. So I said to the church on Sunday, I said, so when Brandon comes out, don't leave, just stay. All right. Because we have this image of wanting, and we know that we have this great, you know, church, and the pastor is going to be dynamic and he's going to give this message. And you guys get yourselves ready and you come to church. And then Brandon comes up on stage. You know, I said that too. And, you know, but, you know, all those things. And there was another one that happened to me where I gave a message and, you know, at New Hope, you walk off, you know, there's multiple services. So I walked off stage to get ready for the next one. And this big guy came backstage. I don't know how he got backstage, but bigger than me. And he said, you know, Pastor, I've been coming to the church for years and I would call every week to see who's speaking. And if it wasn't Pastor Wayne, I wasn't going to come. And this weekend, when you walked out on stage, I said, and he said a word that I couldn't repeat in church. He gave this expletive and he said, I forgot to call. And it was you. Yeah. He says it was you. And I'm thinking, oh man, did I put this guy in prison? What did I do to this guy? And he said, but after you started speaking and I listened to the message, now I know I don't have to call anymore. Okay.
Ooh.
Thank you very much. You know?
Yeah.
But I said, you know, sometimes we have this expectation and we think, oh, that's not what I wanted. Or even during worship, yeah, that's not the song that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And we tune out and we miss exactly what God wanted for us.
There's so many biblical stories where you can kind of make that parallel, where people were expecting something else from Jesus. I'm thinking of like the rich young ruler who like came up to Jesus and said, hey, I followed everything. Like, what do I got to do? And you can kind of infer that he was expecting Jesus to be like, oh, you're good. Like, you made it. You're the perfect example. But then Jesus called him out and it's like, well, sell everything and follow me. And he like walked away. So he missed the entire blessing of like being able to follow Jesus just because like that's not what he wanted.
Yeah. You know, I think of Moses. So he's fully obedient to God, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't want to lead the people. God said, no, you're going to do it. God got even angry with him, gave him Aaron. And so they did. They led the people out. They got him out of Pharaoh's, his grip. And then they provided water for him. And then remember that at the rock, and the Lord said, speak to the rock and water will come out. And yet Moses struck the rock.
Yeah.
And water came out, fed the people. But the Lord said, because you didn't do what I asked you to do, you're not going to get into the promised land. Think of Moses, unmet expectation.
Yeah.
Blew it. But he could have rebelled against God. He could have said, well, forget that, God. I've been doing all of this for you, and yet you keep me out of the promised land. I mean, it could have been a whole different scene, but he trusted. And then you fast forward, Mount of Transfiguration, who appears, you know, when Jesus was praying, Moses.
Yeah.
And Elijah.
He's there with him.
So Moses, he made it. Eventually he made it. But he had to just trust that, even though he didn't get to go where he thought he was going to go, that God still had a plan for him, you know. But so that's another one.
Yeah, and I did want to ask you about that because, well, not about Moses and the transfiguration, but about that turn from disappointment and disillusionment from your unmet expectations Like, how do you turn that into trusting in Jesus again? Because it can be difficult of like, wait, I didn't get what I thought I was going to get. Like, I'm out. But how do you make that turn?
Yeah. I think that's an individual kind of a contextual kind of question. Because some won't wait around. Some will have a desire to just, okay, well, I'm just going to do it anyway. And I think a general answer would be, well, up to you, because you're going to either learn by being patient and waiting, or you're going to learn by the results of it later on. You know, whether it be in a marriage setting. Yeah, I've waited, I've tried, I've went to counseling, I did all this, it ain't going to work, I'm divorcing the person. And then you see what happens after that, you know, where the ramifications of it, there's always a negative side of it. Or there are those who say, okay, I tried this, it didn't work, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to stay with it. And then you see somehow, yeah, again, it's very contextual, so you can't give a specific answer, but you see, and there are examples of some where the marriage comes back together again. And now they're just rejoicing in that, and what would have happened if they had gone and left and all that. So yeah, I think it's an individual thing. Trust is hard, and yet it shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's easier said than done, I think.
Well, relating to what is your image of God, right? It goes back to that question. How are you shaping the image of your God? Is it based on your expectations that haven't been met? Or are you trusting that, okay, God is God. He's given me his word, his promises. You know, I'm going to trust in that. So it's just how you're shaping your God.
I really like the things that you've said a couple times in like staff meetings and things, and a couple times in messages, I think, but you always say that God is transformational and not transactional. Yeah. And I think that so often we, especially like in American culture, we see God as being a transaction, like a businessman in the sky, where it's like, all right, God, if I pass this test, like if I get an A on my math test, then I'll read my Bible. Or like, okay, God, if I'm going to stop swearing or something, or I'm going to give this up. And then because I'm doing this, then like it basically legally binding. Now you have to do this. But that's not really like operational how God works.
Yeah. If I work for this company for all these years, then my company owes me, or I'm entitled to, or, and then you look at Love's Bakery closing, you know, so. How did that happen? I gave my life to this company, and I've been obedient to you, God. I've been going to church every Sunday, and I've been reading my Bible. So God, how could you let this happen? You know, so that's a transactional image of God. We do this and expect something in return. And God has much bigger plan than that.
How would you suggest someone change their perspective of transactional, God, if I do this, then you do this? How do you suggest that someone could change that image that they have of God?
Sometimes there's some where something happens in their life and there's a radical transformation that happens. I think for me, you know, my life reflects almost a radical transformation. Because I was really not a good guy. And I went through what I had to go through. And I think sometimes God will allow me to go through that because I had to. I'm the type of guy that I got to fall flat on my face before I go, oh, okay, there is another way, you know. some others, it takes time. Some others, the longer they spent in this mindset, the longer it's going to take for them to change. But I think the short answer is, a person has to be willing to fully surrender everything. This coming weekend and Easter, you know, Brandon's talking about the redemptive power. You're going to hear a testimony of a person whose life has totally transformed. And it's because of the willingness to surrender. You look at what Paul says, I think in Philippians, that I count everything that I've gained as loss. Paul is a rich guy. He was a successful guy. He earned a lot of stuff. This was stuff that he deserved to have. But in the end, he says, that's garbage. In fact, the words he uses in the Bible, it's garbage, it's loss. Because there's only one thing that I pursue, and that is Christ Jesus. That's all that I want to know. That's transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a total surrender. But if we're continually wanting to hold on to the things that we want to hold on to, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a long road.
So, I mean, I know that you worked basically your entire life in order to get up to being a judge. I mean, law school, internships, other things that judges and lawyers do that I don't know because I'm not a judge or a lawyer, like super long hours. How was that like process of like praying through, okay, I'm going to give up what I worked so hard for you?
Yeah, that's, for me, it's almost an out of body experience.
Really?
You know, when I hear myself tell the story, or I see it on video, you know, giving a testimony, I look at that and I go, wait, are you crazy? How could you do something like that? Who would do that? You
know, yeah. It's
really what I see. You know, who would do something like that? Oh, you know, when I think back in those days, first of all, is because of the transformation that I felt within me. That because of who I was before my moment of salvation, to know that there was a God who just loved me despite all of that, that he was the only one that I believe could forgive me for the things that I've done. That, man, how then can I live? How then should I live my life? That's why Paul's testimony hit me a lot. And I've talked about this before when I was in Las Vegas in the hotel room, just reading the story of Paul and the account of what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember literally in my heart saying, God, if you can use him, can you use me? Because a lot of it was a parallel, you know, with Paul's life. So it was that. And then after a while, just reading and reading, you know, and the Bible just began to say to me, trust me, he never gave me a position. He never gave me a future. He never said, well, this is what you'll be, you know, if you do these things. Every devotional was, trust me, trust me, trust me. And I would wonder, trust, what do you mean, trust? Trust me, trust me, trust me. And then you look at how my life kind of evolved, even getting into ministry. Then I get sick with leukemia. And then, you know, that whole testimony I have about being in the hospital. And the Lord again said, trust me, I want you to learn pure trust. So it's like maybe my epitaph on my headstone should say, he trusted God, you know, because it's all about trust. How do you develop that? It's time after time after time, moment after moment, reading in his word. And in the end, you surrender everything you have and you say, you know, that's the only way I'm going to live. It's just going, I got to trust you.
So did you take like little steps? Because I know that, I mean, I don't know like your entire story front to back. I just know pieces that you've shared with me and with the church and on this podcast and stuff. Yeah. But like, I know that you started like serving with, setting up the tent at 1 a.m. and then like helping out with praying and preaching and then like eventually starting Metro and like doing all these crazy things, like running for lieutenant governor, and just the trust that you have, where there are even sometimes in like staff meetings where you're like, just like, oh, I feel like God is calling us to do this. And it's this crazy thing. And you're just like, so we're going to do it. It's just like, what? We're going to do that? Were there like small steps that you took? Was there just like, it was an incremental? Was it you just like fully sent and just jumped into it? What was that like?
Again, it's not transactional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think trust you develop in a transactional sense. A plus B equals C.
Interesting.
You know, if I do steps 1, 2, 3, that'll increase my trust. I think trust is, and as you're, you know, as you're talking, the image in my mind was like of a jigsaw puzzle. I gave a message once on connecting the dots, and I have yet to, you know, write this book, but it's, that would be my next book. You know, how do you connect the dots? So the picture where you connect dots and then it comes out, you never see it. But the image I saw as you're talking is this jigsaw puzzle. You have a piece and it's important, but you don't know where it goes yet. And you can make out just faintly what it is a part of. But then when you connect it to another piece and then you connect another piece, so, oh, okay, now it's beginning to make sense. But it's not until you connect all the pieces, not in a 1-2-3 fashion. Yeah. If you've done jigsaw puzzle, now this one goes here. Well, this one goes over here. Now this one goes over here. And then as the pieces begin to take shape, you know, and then you become like, you know, the age that I am, even though I don't have any gray hair, you know, you can look at the whole picture and go, oh, so that's why I did that. That's why I went through that. At that time, it didn't seem like it fit. It didn't seem like it was the right, you know, move to make. But I tried it. And sometimes it didn't fit. But then I try someplace else or try something else. But that's the, I think that's the trust factor. It's not transactional. It's looking at knowing that God, the creator, already made this masterpiece. He's already made this, right? For your life, for my life. He already has that jigsaw puzzle completed. And he will stay with you until the very end, until every piece is in place. And you just got to trust that, that piece does have a place. But it's not meeting my expectation, but it does have a place. You're part of a much greater plan, I think is what I said. You're part of a much grander plan. And
so what advice would you have for someone like who's maybe young, got their whole life ahead of them, not even hit their peak yet? I don't know who I'm talking about, but someone who's young, who like is dealing with those like jigsaw pieces where they're like, I don't know where this goes. I don't know how this fits into God's plan for me. They're just like, not lost, but just like they don't have the look back, the hindsight to say, oh, okay, I see where that situation was leading me, or I see what I was supposed to learn out of that situation. But the people who are in those situations now and they're trying to figure things out, what advice would you have for people like that?
Start with the piece, and let's just stay with the jigsaw puzzle metaphor. Start with the piece that's in your hand right now, and just be obedient to whatever that piece is. I think of, and jigsaw puzzles come in all different shapes and sizes, right? When you're in, you go to, you know, the preschool, and they probably have a jigsaw puzzle with four pieces.
Yeah, and they're all just
four
big
pieces. Yeah, and it's like, okay, that fits, great, did it. Okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to stay with four pieces when you're 30 years old? No, every you want to move up. You want to kind of challenge yourself in a way. Go to the 10 piece jigsaw puzzle. Go to the 50 piece jigsaw puzzle. Go to the 500 piece jigsaw puzzle. But I would say don't be afraid to level up and try the next step. And try the next step. And even if you get, you know, frustrated and confused, we did one when the pandemic first started. We laid out, I had this jigsaw puzzle in a box and we never opened it. But we started to piece things together. And then Joy really dove into that, and she did a lot. But, you know, we would come over every once in a while and go, oh, maybe that fits over here, you know? And so don't be afraid to get with others around you too. And say, hey, you know, what I'm trying to do is, and I'm looking at, what do you think? My journey wasn't just my own reflection and decisions. I had guys around me. I had brothers around me. Until, you know, as the pieces began to fall in place, I remember this one guy telling me, and I can visually see where I was standing in my judge's chamber, looking out the window. I'm on the phone, and this guy says to me, you know, Elwin, it's like everything you do seems to turn to gold, is what he said. Everything I touch turns into gold. He said, what are you waiting for? You know, as far as the decision, do I leave the bench or not? He says, what are you waiting for? The pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? You already have it. And I went, oh, wow, that was big. That's a big deal for me. In other words, I could have stayed as a judge. God wouldn't take his hand off of me, but I would miss what he had available and waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so either way, God doesn't say, okay, because you didn't do that, you're like Moses. Because you didn't do that, okay, you can't enter the promised land, but God never gave up on Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And so even for, you know, your own life, a person who's young, trying to learn how to trust, don't fear that if I don't do this, oh, I blew it. Try it. Try that piece. Try another piece. Keep going. And God says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you to the end of the age.
Yeah. So. I really like that idea of the having people around you that you can bounce ideas off of. Because sometimes we can get so caught up in, like, this is my only option. And then we talk to someone and we realize, oh, that person says like, oh, wait, have you thought about this? And it's like, whoa, that blows the whole problem wide open. Like yeah. there's other things that I can't see because I'm like so flustered or I'm too close to the problem. So having those kinds of people and being those kinds of people who are going to be able to, who are wanting to get into other people's lives, not in a respectful, like Jesus-centered way, but be able to like call each other out in biblical ways where it's like, hey, I see that this is going on in your life. Like you have this opportunity that God is putting in front of you and like encourage them to do it. And a lot of that can be done in connect groups. So Metro has great connect groups. You can head over to our website. There's a connect group finder. We've talked about it a few times, but it's really cool. And get into those groups where you can have those people to talk about what's going on in your life. They can encourage you to trust and you can encourage them to trust God.
Yeah. I start with the puzzle that's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And so if I just use you as an example, you know, Willie, the puzzle that God has you trying to figure out is, you know, Metro Kids and the next gen and start with that. At the same time, though, know that that's part of a much larger piece, much larger puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're doing that, so it's almost like you're gonna have to have both and eyes. I'm doing this, but it's also part of a larger thing. And so that's why this is so important and critical, because it is part of something much bigger, you know? So, you know, a person's life too, younger life, you know, where they're working, whatever they're doing, it's doing it, but also knowing that God is going to use that somehow in a bigger picture, in a bigger sense.
Mm-hmm. I like to think of the all the stories where it's in the Bible where it talks about like if you can be trusted with little then you can be trusted with much.
Yep.
And I kind of try to have that mindset when I'm going into something, like even if it seems kind of insignificant, where if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And so like, okay, this is what God is putting in front of me right now, so I'm going to do as the best that I can, because I know that down the road it's going to play into a bigger picture.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, I give the example of running for lieutenant governor. It wasn't a political thing. It was all this spiritual covering and all that. So, okay, it's supposed to be done, man. I will be done. It's going to be done. And it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, what did I do? Did I crawl into my hole? Did I say, oh, forget it then. I'm not going to pray anymore. Because if I pray, it's not going to happen. No, it quickly launched into something else. And this politician friend that I have, he says, you know, what I really admire about what happened to you is that you didn't crawl into a hole of defeat. You came right out and you guys launched into something else. I said, yeah, because I believe that it's all part of a greater plan. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you even were able to just turn that around and like, just, well, okay. Like that didn't work out, but I know that there's a bigger picture. And like, this was part of that bigger picture.
Yep.
So you didn't let it defeat you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool. We were in Metro Kids Online this past Sunday. And one of the kids said, I learned today that Pastor Elwin ran for lieutenant governor, but then he didn't win. But then it was okay because they were partying because Jesus is good. And I was like, hey, right on. He's watching service.
Wow, yeah, that's awesome. Oh, that's really, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. So even with the Metro kids, they're learning from the big picture of your life.
Yeah, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Pastor Elwin, man, this has been just such a great conversation, and very encouraging, because it can feel like we're so stuck on one problem, especially with the younger generation, younger people. I feel like, man, if like I'm so stuck on this one problem, that how am I ever going to like progress? How am I ever going to move forward? Or how is God going to use this? But to be able to see an example of someone who's lived their life trusting God, and like be able to pull on those examples and even show, be able to be vulnerable and be like, hey, this is a time where I put a lot of effort into something and it didn't end up working out, but I know that it played into a bigger picture that God was working. Like, that's super encouraging for me.
Yeah. You have to think big picture, you know, do what you got to do, but think big picture. I'm working on the synopsis for the next series, and it's in response to our in-person service. I did this for, I asked them to fill out a survey, you know, top three questions that you have for God, like, dear God, what about? And so I took that and I compiled it, and I got some that we'll be talking about. And here's one, I think, just to tease the audience, whoever's listening, we're actually going to do one on, dear God, what about aliens? Are there really aliens?
What about aliens?
It is an intriguing question. It's not something you just brush off. And I was reading about that. And I say that because what we'll see is that the question just brings to light how important we are to God, that God has us in a much bigger picture, much bigger picture.
Aliens when we go to Mars.
Well, it makes you consider what's going on in the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Because there's a Hubble telescope photograph, the largest captured photograph of the universe. Mm. And you can just Google it, you know, Hubble telescope, you know, largest universe picture, and just billions of their galaxies, not just planets or billions of galaxies, which is made up of stars and planets and billions. And God created all that. And he created you and me to be a part of all that. Now, how important is that? You know?
Yeah.
So you got to think big picture. You got to see yourself in the bigger picture of what God is doing. And
That's going to be really cool. I'm really looking forward to that.
It's going to be a fun one. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, Pastor Elwin, this has been an incredible, just so thankful for this time that we get to sit down and talk together. Some of the stuff that we're coming up for Metro is Easter is this Sunday. Hey, if you haven't registered for Good Friday yet, you can do so on our website, in-person worship and prayer night. That's this Friday at 6 p.m. Service starts. And then Easter is Sunday, 8 and 10. More info on our website, but we have a ton coming up. Like, Metro Kids is back. We're going to be at Easter 8 and 10. And then after Easter, we're going to be at the 8 a.m. service for in-person Metro Kids. And then we're also going to be having online Metro Kids at 9. Alive is moving to twice a month. Next service is April 9th. Women's Ministry is having their Elijah Bible study. And for information on any of that, you can go to our website. Our website has everything that you need to stay connected here at Metro. And then also there is a live stream event coming up where we're just going to be able to ask questions and hang out with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Owen. It's April 18th at 5 p.m. So that's going to be really cool just to meet and get to know some of the online Ohana that we haven't been able to like have real conversations with. So it's going to be less structured, more just hang out, talk story kind. So that's going to be really fun.
What about baptism, Willie? How are we going to handle baptism if anybody wants to be baptized?
Ooh, we just had a real good long discussion about that, and we're really excited. But if you want to be baptized, if you feel like God is calling you towards being baptized, taking that next step with your faith, go ahead and email Cameron@metrochristianchurch.com, and he will get all of the information to you and set you up. But yeah, so we've got some really excited things coming up.
Awesome. Good. Good.
A lot happening. A lot going on.
Yes, sir.
So we're excited. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. We'll see you at Easter, Good Friday, and next week on the Hana Hope podcast.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
See ya. Shoots.